Today's feast is one that is very popular all over the world. It is a feast of St. Anthony of Lisbon, called, because of the place of his death, of Padua. But he was actually Portuguese. He was born in the vicinity of Lisbon, in that beautiful city on the Mediterranean and on the Atlantic, where the faith was practiced and where Our Lady herself would bless them with her visitation in 1917. St. Anthony, as a young man, studied, and he was, because of his social position and so forth, as well as his talents, which were to be proven more later, he was made a canon of the cathedral there. And it was he who, as a young priest, was to welcome a group of Franciscans. I believe it was six or seven of them who came through because Portugal was at that time the mistress of the seas. And St. Anthony greeted them because they came to get ships to go to convert the Saracens, the Moors. And he gave them hospitality and took good care of them, perhaps gave them money, I don't know, most likely. And then he saw them off. About 6 weeks later, their bodies were brought back. They were the first Franciscan martyrs, and they were martyred by the Muslims because they would not convert to Christianity, and they would not convert to Islam, and would not submit to the religion of submission. And so they were the first martyrs of the Franciscan order. So St. Anthony, who already was thinking that he wanted to do more than just be a rich priest with many avenues and so forth, he decided to become a Franciscan. But first of all, he wanted to do the same thing they did. He wanted to go to Africa and convert the Muslims. However, the ship got embroiled in torments and storms and so forth, and it was veered off to Italy, where at that time he met at least one time the great seraphic father, the founder of the Franciscan family, St. Francis of Assisi. Now, St. Francis was to die in October of 1226. So this was very, very long time ago. In the meantime, St. Anthony was admitted into the order, and because nobody knew who he was just a stranger, and they didn't even know about his, necessarily of his nationality and so forth. In those days, everybody spoke Latin. Latin was the lingua franca of the ancient world. And so they didn't know his talents. But one day, when they were all invited to an ordination, and there were hundreds of priests, and the bishop, and the deacons, and the subdeacons, and so forth, for the ordination of a new priest, the preacher that was supposed to come to teach them and preach them before the ordination, he was probably a Dominican, did not show up. And so the bishop looked at St. Anthony, maybe the Holy Spirit guided him, and says, "You are going to preach." And of course, imagine, with all these people there, thousands, and all of a sudden somebody tells you, "You're going to preach." Most of us would have melted into the ground, but not St. Anthony. And he did such an outstanding job that he was immediately made the teacher of hermeneutics and rhetoric in the order, the Franciscan order, which was just then beginning. And then he was sent to preach to different places and countries, and he did so in Latin, by the way, and people understood him. And so, and of course, when people did not want to listen to him, he went out to the shores of the sea, and the fish came out to hear him. And in that sense, he is very much like our seraphic father, St. Francis. In the meantime, He was to end up in Padua, near Venice, across the channel from Venice. And there was, after a year of being there, he died, which gives him the rights of the name St. Anthony of Padua, even though he is, as the Europeans called him, St. Anthony of Lisbon. Either way, he was still a very young man, and already he had a great fame for miracles of all kinds, healings and reconciliations and so forth. So if there's something or someone that you need to turn over to him, do it. Don't be afraid. One thing that I find interesting is that, of course, the saints in glory are as beautiful as they could be. So luckily, iconography shows the saints as they are in heaven, not as they were on earth. But like St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Anthony was very rotund. He was obese. And, you know, he had a good belly on him. I'm sure he could put out a good laughter from that belly. Anyway, but you see all the beautiful pictures of him with the baby Jesus in his arms, and he looks like almost like a teenager holding the baby Jesus. Well, St. Anthony would have been a fat guy. He is the one about whom we can sing when we sing Ecce sacerdos magnus, here comes the big priest, because he was. But I'm sure in heaven he is in the best of shapes, and not that that makes any difference. But if you need to lose weight, pray to St. Anthony. And if you need to gain knowledge and wisdom, pray to St. Anthony. Now, St. Anthony's body is not incorrupt. And I will bless everyone with the relic of St. Anthony, the first class relic of St. Anthony after benediction. But what is interesting, all of him is disappeared to ashes. There's in his tomb, there is his skeleton, which I have seen. And the only thing that remains, and that is separated in a separate reliquary in the apse of the magnificent Basilica of St. Anthony in Padua, it is impeccably incorrupt, is his tongue, that with which he preached the gospel. So a lot of the times, not only in iconography, but in reality, God manifests the thing for which the person was best known. Of course, all of us are thinking, well, what about St. Anthony? What about the other things that he does? Well, there are two things that he does for which he is very popular. He helps young maidens find a good husband. So if any of you need to find a good husband, maybe you should pray to St. Anthony. On the other hand, we're always praying to him, and this Mass is in thanksgiving to him from me, because we are always misplacing things. And so we always pray to St. Anthony. If you lose something, pray to St. Anthony. And if he can't find it, then say the Memorare, and Our Lady will find it. St. Anthony, pray for us and grant us many, many graces and gifts. A few years ago on this evening, my family and a lot of other friends were gathered together having a dinner party on a beautiful balcony in Rome. And right in front of us, the procession of St. Anthony was going by. The parish that was there by the Lithuanian College was the parish of St. Anthony of Padua. And, of course, I'm sure it's not the same now, but at that time, there were 100,000 families in that parish. Imagine the lay solidarity meeting at that place, God help us, and a bunch of Italian women fighting with each other. But anyway, so 100,000 families. And so the procession that they put on every year for the 13th of June was incredible, with banners and bands and the statue of St. Anthony and many, many thousands of people participating as well. But it was on this eve that the somewhat nervous young deacon was preparing for the next day, on which he would receive ordination to the priesthood. And with that, all dreams were fulfilled. Everything else is icing on the cake. Now tomorrow I will celebrate that, even though we have feasted already. But tomorrow I will have celebrated 20,404 masses. Imagine that. I can't believe it, but it's true. I have it all. Every one of them is written down in 8 volumes now, where every mass, every altar, and so forth, and for whom the mass was. So the one for today will say thanksgiving to St. Anthony, and tomorrow thanksgiving to God altogether. So Deo gratias. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.